Bibles, turn with me to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Last Sunday night, we looked at how we have an advocate. Tonight, we're going to look how we have insurance of our salvation. I know many times that a young person, a lot of people doubt their salvation. 1 John chapter 2. A lot of people go through this point in their life to where they really don't know if they are truly born again. John is here writing, and he says, "My little children." He could either be writing to a group of people that he has led to the Lord, that are young in their faith, or people that he looks as children, meaning that they're babes in Christ. I did a survey a couple hours ago, and I've called a few people that have been saved for at least 25 years, or close to it. I asked them the simple question, have you ever seen somebody that was grounded in their faith ever doubt their salvation? Both the people that I talked to, they said, absolutely not. Why is that? John's writing to a group of people that maybe be young in their faith. They may be children in Christ. But John wants to help them with the assurance that they can know him. Let's read our Bibles in verse 3 of 1 John chapter 2. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Let me ask you this question. What is John talking about? He's saying, hereby we do know that we know him. Then he says, if we keep his commandments. Let me ask you this question. What does keep his commandments draw a conclusion in your mind? Can somebody tell me? It's something that we want every teen to do. Obedience. It's something that God's people wants everybody to be. God wants everybody to be obedient to his word. See, John here is giving clarity of thought. John here is now summing up of having an advocate, of knowing that we can have fellowship with God. He's summing up here. In this simple very fact that we can know him. And we can have assurance that we know him. And we can have assurance that we know him by obedience. In these next four verses, we're going to see how obedience is a key role to John's thought in these next four verses. You know, obedience was the very first fact of salvation in the very first place. You know, some people say this way to heaven or that way is to heaven, and they don't have a clear direction of which way to go. But God said it's only be obedient to his word. And his word says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that thou shalt be saved. The Bible says thou shalt be saved, but only if we believe and we confess. That's being obedient to his word. Even the very instincts of our Christian life is centered around obedience. You want me to give you an open secret in the Bible? Obedience. Obedience is the biggest secret that's an open secret in the Bible. Obedience is everything against our sin nature. Go back all the way to the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve themselves decide not to be obedient to God's word. The Bible says in Romans that because of one person's sin, death became an all men. All men were created sinners after that. By one person's disobedience, it stained a whole multitude of people. For centuries, people are born into sin. The fact of obedience in our Bible is what John's drawing our attention to, that we can have assurance. If you go to 1 Samuel chapter 15, you'll find an instance in 1 Samuel with Saul. God told him something specific in that. He told him to utterly kill the Amalekites. Amalekites, Amalekites, whatever you want to say. He told him to utterly kill, destroy everything. Amalekites, that's the correct word. Amalekites, whatever you want to say. Amalekites, you know, tomato, tomato. God told him to utterly destroy. To utterly destroy. It's everything. It even gives a picture of women and children. But he didn't do that. He thought he obeyed him. Actually, he lied to the prophet. He lied to the prophet and said he obeyed God, but he never did. God saw right through that. John's saying here that we know that we can know him if we keep his commandments. First point. Obedience proves salvation in our Christian lives. How does it prove salvation in our Christian lives? Hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. We can have assurance of our salvation just by the fact that if we're obedient to God. Just by the fact that we're obedient to his word and what he says in his word. We know that we can have assurance. Salvation is the very core of our Christian life. Putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ is the very core of our Christian life. So John's saying from the very core, from the very beginning, it started with obedience and it's going to end with obedience. Our Christian life is nothing but filled with obedience. We see how in 1 John 1 and 2, how we can break our fellowship. We break our fellowship is because we disobey God's word. God tells us to do something, but we do opposite. Obedience is so keyed in our salvation. And John is trying to picture that right here, that if we keep his commandments. Salvation is what the world needs. Salvation in Jesus Christ, not in some other God, not in some other faith, not in some other religion, but in Jesus Christ. It all revolves around Jesus Christ. John is saying here that we can know that we have salvation. We know that we are going to go to heaven. We know that we're going to have eternal life. Actually, eternal life is present when we confess our sins and put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Eternal life is present. We are present possessors when we confess our sins and put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That means no matter what happens to me, if I die right now, I will be right there. My last breath on earth is the first breath in heaven when I get to see Jesus Christ. Obedience is so keyed in our salvation. If you have never confessed your sins and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you're actually being obedient or disobedient to God's word. In your very sin nature, you want your nature even wants to be disobedient. A lot of times when we're not filled with the Spirit, meaning we're not yielding our life to Jesus Christ and allow His Spirit to control our lives, we are living a flesh-filled life, which is in direct disobedience against God and His Word. Obedience is the very key to our assurance of our salvation in our Christian life. One thing we all want kids in the nation that we live in today, we want to see them be obedient. But listen, without Christ, they can never be obedient. In their own sinful nature, they will never be obedient to God. Your children will never be obedient to God until they come to know Christ as their personal Savior. You'll never be fully obedient to God or obedient, period, to God until you come to know Christ as your personal Savior. John is saying, you can know that you know him. Who's him? Jesus Christ, the righteous in chapter 2, verse 1. Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our, he's the atoning sacrifice for our lives. He was the perfect sacrifice that God accepted to allow sinful men in the presence of a holy and just God. Obedience is a central key to our salvation. So I ask you this fact. Have you been obedient to Christ? Have you confessed your sins and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? If you have, you've been obedient. But for those, and for me, that have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we can know for sure that we know Him. Simply, a simple thought, if we're just obedient to Him. Obedience is the very key to our Christian life. Obedience is the only one that's going to keep us right with God in the very first place. We see a second thing in here. Obedience proves that we've had a changed life. Look in verse 2, or verse 4. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. By simply obeying God's word proves that we're truly born again. Obedience shows us and proves to us as born again believers, if we are obedient to God's word, He has changed our lives. We were once lost, destined to hell, but God saved us and gave us a new life in Christ. He's the one that changes from our old nature to our new nature, which is in Jesus Christ. He's put all things to pass. We are new creatures in Christ. We are a new person. We might not be physically new, but once your heart gets regenerated and once your soul gets refreshed, you feel like a new person. You feel like a brand new person. At the age of 18, when God came and put a man in my life in Matthew Congleton, I was living a wicked, sinful life. Why? Because I didn't know Christ as my personal Savior. That's all I knew how to do was to sin against God. I didn't know how to be obedient to Him. But it wasn't until I come to know Christ as my personal Savior, then I became obedient. Obedience is proven to us by our changed life. You know how you could tell a person if they're not saved? Now, we don't know their hearts. We can't see a person's heart. We cannot. And more than likely, after about 10 minutes of being with somebody, you can pretty much figure out if they're saved or not. Why? Because the lives they live. That's shocking, ain't it? Because we see so many people out saying that they trust Christ as a personal Savior, but they live totally opposite against God's Word. John said himself that he has not the truth. The Bible says if you live a Christian life, or if you don't live a Christian life, or you don't live obedient to God's Word, the Bible says itself that you are a liar. If you say that you have trusted Christ as your personal Savior, and you claim to be a Christian, and you claim to be a born-again believer, but yet your life proves otherwise, John says that you're a liar. And then it says the truth is not in you. Many of people are going to be so deceived when they get to heaven. Many people are living this false witness that it's just about my outward actions and that's it. But their heart is so far away from the Lord. Look in Isaiah, read Isaiah. Why did the nation sin against God? Why did the full nation of Israel sin and rebel against God? Because their hearts was not right. He said, you profess me from your mouth, but your heart's away from me. And that's even prevalent in our day now, in the society in which we live now. No, you don't have to wear a tie to get to heaven. No, you don't have to look nice, dressed out to get to heaven. It's about the heart. But understand this, what comes in the heart proceeds before your mouth. What happens inside always comes out outwardly. That's why God said baptism. We were talking about baptism earlier. It's just an outward expression of an inward reaction. Baptism does not save you. That's a false doctrine. Baptism is just an expression. So if we say and we claim to be a Christian, but yet we live like the world, the question is, are we truly born again? Now, don't get me wrong. I know born again believers, they were hot and heavy, and only the Holy Spirit can confess Christ, the Bible says. And I know people that were so hot and heavy for the Lord and born again believers, and just our spirits clicked, but they've walked away. That can't happen. It can't happen. And God will eventually give them up to a reprobate mind. But if our lives do not reflect the words that are coming out of our mouth, John calls us a liar. You know what the problem with our Christianity today? Is that we don't show our Christianity today. I come to church. I read my Bible. But when somebody looks at you, they never know you're a Christian. When I got saved, God did something inwardly. God changed me inwardly. I couldn't help but confess it. I couldn't help but tell people about Christ. 24 hours after I got saved, my mom said, "What's wrong with you, Paul?" I said, "Mom, I come to know Christ as my personal Savior." God changes our lives. He comes in, He comes to rest upon us. He comes to abide. In the book of John says, He comes to abide. He said, I and the Father will come abide on you. He's going to take our rest in us when we confess our sins and put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And if our outward actions does not show that, there's a problem. It's not about the outward actions. Don't understand. It's such a contemporary age that we have that we have to be worked up to serve the Lord, work up to do this, worked up. If it's already done in your heart, you don't have to be worked up for anything. Because what's on the inside is going to come out no matter what. When you know a person's not saved, you'll see them after being around them for a few. There was a guy that I was witnessing to at the last job. He claimed to be a Christian. But listen, my friend, his life said something different. And he could never understand why I didn't stop giving him the gospel. He could never understand why I didn't stop giving him the gospel. But he said this before I left. He said, "Thank you, Paul. Because you impacted my life." What was on in me needed, and God wants it to come out. But if we don't live an obedient life, as our mouth says it, is it in our heart? That's the question. John says you can know for sure that you are born again by obedience, by keeping His word. And God will change your life through obedience. God will make you into something so beautiful. You know, just like the potter in Jeremiah. God will make something so beautiful out of you. More than you can ever even think of. 6 years ago, I would have never said that I would stand in public today. Or stand in a church and preach. Actually, in fact, when I was in high school, I went to a public speaking class. And I failed it with a 32F. Because I did not like to stand up in front of people. How God's changed me. Because He starts from the inward and He works outward. Why do you want to bottle up your Christian faith? Why would ever a person want to keep it to themselves? You know, God doesn't give you to keep to yourselves. That's not a principle. God gives to us so we can give to others. That's what He taught His disciples. So we see obedience gives us an assurance of our salvation, and it proves our salvation. And then it proves our changed life. Then thirdly, it proves God's love. It's, "But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected." I went to Greek class in college, so I won't throw out a bunch of Greek words to you. But this perfected means to be complete. But it also has a sense of being completed. Meaning that His love is constantly transforming us. Meaning that word of sanctification, it's constantly proving us. It's constantly working in our hearts and our lives. Yes, at one moment you were born again believers and you had all of God in you that you'll ever have here on this earth. But there's a process of sanctification that a Christian goes through. And the same thing with God's love in us. The more God shows us, the more God loves us, and the more we're obedient to Him, His love for Him, our love for Him grows. And you ask the question about many Christians that are not truly being obedient to God, and they say they love God. The love of God is not perfected until we have obedience in our lives. And as we are obedient to God's word, God's love grows. And as we're obedient to God's word, God's love grows in us. And we have nothing else but to give it to other people. This is a progression in God's word here. It gives a natural progression here. We go from salvation to seeing how our lives are changed to now this process of sanctification in our Christian lives. Isn't that the same way that God says in Romans what happens to a Christian when they truly become born again? They get saved, the inwards change, and then their lives, you start seeing it change to be more like the image of Christ. Obedience draws us closer to God, and His love and His light shines in us. And not only does it shine in us, it shines through us. Because the love of God is perfected through obedience. It's perfected it's completed at one time. When you confess your sins and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, all the love and everything that God wants you to have as salvation, He gives it to you. The power that you need to live this Christian life, He gives it to you at the moment of salvation when the Holy Spirit of God comes, lives and dwells inside you. But we are not truly transformed in one day. We're truly by salvation wise. We were once lost and destined to hell, but now we're going to get to heaven and have eternal life present with us. But there's a life change that happens. A dead Christian or a person that totally doesn't know Christ as a personal Savior will never grow in Christ. There comes a point in your Christian life where you're saying, Lord, why am I not growing? Why am I not growing like I should? I went through something like that for about 6 months. It felt like God just stopped talking to me. God just stopped talking to me. But in that, He was proving me. And really, in reality, He was working on the most of me in that time. Because He was drawing me closer to Him. See, God works through obedience. How can God use you if you're a disobedient Christian? Look at the nation of Israel. God wanted them to be a separated people, a peculiar people, separated unto Him. But because of their disobedience, they rejected God's word. As a born-again believer, we can have assurance of our salvation through obedience. We can have this assurance through obedience that we have a changed life. And obedience proves the love of God being perfected in us. And lastly, verse 6, he that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also to walk even as He walked. Obedience proves our walk. Obedience proves our walk. If we are truly being obedient to God, we will draw closer to Christ, and Christ's life will shine through us. Well, His will become our will. His thoughts will start to become our thoughts. We'll stop looking at people that we hate or that we dislike. We'll stop looking at a nation that has turned their back from God when we look at it as a lost nation. And we look at it as lost people. This nation turned around when lost people tried to start running it. That happened centuries and centuries and centuries ago. And truthfully, honestly, I don't know if our nation would ever turn around. I believe that there could be revival. I truly believe that there could be revival. But are we at the point in our nation that no return? Look at the sin that's happening. We will need a revival. But revival doesn't start with lost people coming to know Christ. That's just a byproduct of revival. Revival starts in the hearts of Christians getting their hearts right with God. That is revival. And because of that, outgrows, and we see that manifest in souls getting saved. Revival is not in lost souls coming to know Christ. Revival is God's people getting their hearts right with Him. We can have assurance of our salvation. And sometimes in our Christian life, we'll get to the point where we need it. Paul was warning these Christians. Some say that he was third generation Christians, so they really didn't get to see Christ die and rose again like John got to see them. But he's saying, you can know Him. We know that we can know Him if we're obedient to Him. Has there come a point in your life where you see where you've been disobedient to God? I know there was times in my life where I've been disobedient, and there comes times every day that, Lord, I've disobeyed Your word. I should have been doing this, and I was doing this. Brother Gregory said it so well, we shouldn't even have accounts with God. We should have no short accounts at all. God's desire is that we sin not. That's God's desire, but He knew that we would sin. He knew that we would break His commandments, so He's given it to us an advocate. Jesus Christ the righteous. Do you see in your life where maybe you're not walking as God wants you to walk? Are you truly born again? That's the question. If your mouth is saying one thing, but your life is saying another, John calls you a liar. And then he says, the truth is not in you. What does that mean? That Jesus Christ does not live in us. Are you being an obedient Christian? Are you obeying God's word today? Are you obeying what God has told you to do? Because God delights in obedience. God delights in using obeying Christians and obedient Christians. God delights in that. He's given us everything. What do we have to do? Give our lives to Him. He wants us to surrender all. He wants us to give Him everything. We can have assurance of salvation through obedience. We can have assurance of salvation, and it shows and it proves through our life. We can have assurance of salvation through obedience that proves God's love in us. And we can have assurance of our salvations when we walk as He has walked. And walking as He had walked. Are you being obedient today? Has one point of this message pricked your hearts? Bring it before the Lord today. Let's pray. Father.